You've had a blessed day, say amen. If your tomorrow is more blessed than today, say amen.
Amen.
If your path is shining like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter unto a perfect day, say amen.
Amen.
If you know that colorful and bright is your destiny, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
If your sins have been forgiven, say amen.
Amen.
If ancestral curses have been broken in your life, say amen.
Amen.
Let me say that again. If ancestral curses have been broken in your life, say amen.
Amen.
If you are sure you are not going to hell, say amen.
Amen.
If Jesus died to ensure you don't go to hell, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue today. I want to just share something briefly as a part of what we are doing today, our school of prayer. I titled it, The Seed is the Word of God. All right, what did I call it? Now, the focus there is the seed, the seed. All right? Quickly, let's read our Bible's book of Genesis. Now, just read one verse, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. If you are not there, don't bother. I'll just read it out for you. It's one you know very well. Say, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. There will always be seed time. And after a while, there will be harvest. The principle that governs life is that of seed time and harvest. Oswald Chambers said that we can choose our actions, but we cannot choose the consequences. The way by which we decide what our lives will be, that's why I wrote the book, Choice is Key to Destiny, is by sowing the right seeds. Now, there are different kinds of seeds. You know, Paul says something, if you read Galatians chapter 6, for time's sake, let me just read it out. These are scriptures we all know very well, so I won't just bother spending so much time on it. Verse 6, it says, the one who is taught the word is to share good things with the one who teaches. It's now said in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this, he says, he will also reap. Now, I just want to read that. It says, he that sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. But what I want to read, my emphasis from what I've read here, is that he said, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. All right? Now, I said we should open somewhere earlier. That was Luke chapter what? 8. All right, the book of Luke chapter 8. Let me now read that one. Now, it's a parable of the sower, which we all know. After I finish telling the parable, which we all know, that's from verse beginning of chapter 8, all right, from verse 5. Talk about the fact that the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot by the birds of the air. It was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. He said, other seed fell on the rocky soil, and then other seed fell into the good ground. That's verse 8. And those ones produce abundantly, some the different levels of production. But now let's now read verse 11. When the disciples began to ask him questions in verse 9, verse 11, he began to answer their questions. He said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, that's just what I want from there, that verse 11. He said, the seed is the word of God. Please, I want you to understand that. The seed is the word of God. What he was talking about exactly is the fact that somebody went out to sow, and what he was sowing is the word of God. But what I want you to notice here is that he said, the seed is the word of God. Now, there's a reason why I'm reading that. That just struck me as I was about to come up. All right? He said, the seed is the word of God. Now, you'll see why I read that in a moment. There are different kinds of seeds in life. I said it before, everything we are doing in life is a seed, all right? The way you handle your work is a seed. The way you study the word of God is a seed. Now, the way you drive your car is a seed. Anything you do in life, all right, is a seed. That's a matter of fact. That's just a matter of fact. Now, but amongst the seeds, there are different kinds of seeds. You understand what I'm saying? Amongst these seeds, there is one that is most important. They came to Jesus and said, there are many commandments we know. Which one is the greatest of the commandments? That is, there are different kinds of commandments. All right, they are in different groups. They apply to different things. They said, of all these commandments, which one is the greatest? And then he said to them, or in one instance, he threw the question back. In one, he answered it directly. In that Matthew chapter 22, he said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God. We've been studying it for a while, all right, on Saturdays. Now, he said, this is the foremost of the commandments. Then he has one that is like it. That is, amongst many commandments, one stands out, all right, and has one that is stood out with, which is thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. Now, when it comes to seed also, that's what I'm talking about. When it comes to seed, the way you relate with your father is a seed. Amen? Amen. The way you relate with your mother is a seed. The way you relate with your friends, all right, that is also a seed. The way you do your business is a seed. But amongst all these seeds, there is one that stands out, and he said that seed is the word of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. You see, I like to say, now, let me clarify this. People must understand something. In life, we often are distracted by many things that are good, but they are not the seed. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. They are good, but they are not the seed. They have their place, but they are not the seed. Please, what I'm saying is very, very crucial. You know, at a point, Jesus corrected Martha. He said, you are bothered by many things. Those things are not bad. You must understand this. If Jesus, forget Jesus now for a moment. If I came to your house, all right? I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm just one of those boys working for him. Amen? You don't believe me? Amen? Were you confused before as to whether I'm not Jesus Christ or not? All right? So if I came to your house and you did not entertain me, that wouldn't be good. I wouldn't like it. It's a very good thing, therefore, right? As I'm trying to emphasize, that you give Jesus Christ food. All right? So if I come to your house and I'm there and I'm preaching, you don't give me water to drink, it wouldn't be nice. I've gone somewhere to preach before, and they didn't give me water to drink. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Don't they know that I'll get thirsty? Those are very good things. I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that they are good. Yet, Jesus looked at Martha and said, you are bothered by too many things. That is, some of these very good things, they can be a distraction, all right, or they can constitute a distraction when the main seed is up there to be addressed. Let me say. The Bible says, he that will not walk should not eat. So a man may wake up in the morning and say, I must go and walk, and he will neglect the main seed. Do you understand my point? It's important he walks, but the Bible says the seed, there are different kinds of seed, but the one. That's what Jesus said to Martha, that you are bothered by too many things. He said, but one is needful. Now, the other things are important. It's not like they're not important. They are. But it said, the seed. There is one that is more important than all others. So when we're planning our businesses, when we're planning our lives, when we're planning our weddings, very important. But okay, forget wedding. Wedding is not that's not the serious planning. It is when we're planning our what? Marriage. Now, there's a world of difference between wedding and marriage. Wedding is 2 days. 1 day, traditional rites. 2nd day, modern rites. Put everything together. I pronounce you man and wife. You can go and start marrying now. Understand, that day you wedded. Now you now step into marriage. That one takes a very long time. 60 years, you're still there. Now, when we're preparing for that also, there are many tips, many, many tips. I've read books. Like, I make a joke of it all the time. How to remember your wife's birthday. How to do this, how to do that. How to talk to your husband. How not to talk to your wife. How to do that. They are very, very good. People go for seminars, and they are talking on relationships. There's one of the best books I've ever read on relating with people. All right? It's 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I always like to drop names of books here and there so that it will help you. And if you know those who are really being helped by the word of God, there are those who note those books, and they'll go and look for them and read them. I read 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Beautiful book. All my life, in fact, the first book I read on relationship as a young boy was a book titled, let me not give you the title of the book. I want to unrecommend it. The book gave about 5 points on how to relate. And he said things like, avoid placating. I still remember that. I read the book that first time. I was so excited. It was my first book, actually, in life on how to relate with people. I've never been taught anything like that, you know. But that one, I read it. Years later, I came back to it, and I felt like I threw it into a dustbin. All right? I've read all kinds of books. When I read Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages, I said, this book is good. Just to drop what is in the book for a minute, for those who want to know. I'm speaking to you now in English. All right? What if I came, I was speaking Swahili? I start speaking. Do you know how to speak Swahili? Or let's even forget Swahili. I mean, that one, nobody hears me. At least here, I speak Yoruba, and only maybe one or two people here will understand. I start quoting Bible from Genesis chapter 1, or John chapter 1, near at the decoction, or not, you know, you're looking like, what is this man talking about? What I'm saying, does he have meaning? Yes, he does. You just don't understand it. Is it your fault? Are you getting my point? That's meaning, but you don't understand it, and it's not your fault. In the same manner, Gary Chapman explained in the book that when you want to tell somebody, I love you, how you say it, all right, there are different ways that different people understand. That sometimes you tell somebody, and you are working hard, preaching, I love you, but you are saying it in Swahili. And your husband or your wife is not hearing it, not because you are not saying it, but the person does not speak that language. Then you will now be having problems. Somebody will now say, what is the problem? They say, he doesn't love me. And now one says, I love her so much. Now one says, he does not love me. Say, if you love her so much, why don't you tell her? I've been telling her. Go and read the book. I don't want to preach the message in the book. He says, summary, learn the love language that somebody else understands. All right? Don't insist on your way. One day I went for a couples meeting. Now I've digressed seriously. God will help me, amen? I know you don't mind. It's me. I'm concerned about myself. Now, I went for a couples meeting. And one woman, there, you know, people will talk. And yeah, like, I tell my wife, say, anything you say here, they know you're talking about me. So don't even say there are some men. I'm the only man you know. Forget all of this. All of this. So this woman stood up. She was not even doing some men. She was talking about her husband. And the man was right there. I wanted everybody to know. I'm talking about you. If I tell him, leave me alone, let me finish what I'm saying. You know, those kind of things. But the funny part was that the woman said something that was very interesting. That sometimes they are sitting down and she was asking her husband, what are you doing with your hands there? Just be touching me. Ah! You know, if I made a joke of it later. I'll tell my wife, please touch me. You know, like it became a joke because I read a book long ago titled, Please Love Me. All right? The title of the book, Please Love Me. So that one now became a joke. Please touch me. And the woman was serious. That what does she just want? I just sit down like that. Just hold her hand. Put a hand on her shoulder. You're walking on the road. Just, you know, just. What is going on here? You know, that kind of thing. And we're like, I don't know whether it was before then. I think it was before then where I read the book, 5 Love Languages. So it made sense what she was saying. If you had not read the book, and you do not have that kind of craving in your soul, you will think that woman, something is wrong with her. And she was telling the man that she doesn't understand what the man is doing with her hands. God gave him 2 hands and he doesn't do anything with it. The man walks, so it's not as if he doesn't walk. But what does the woman want? Just hold my hand. Like we're in a couples meeting. Don't just sit down there. Sit down there and grab one hand, put a hand on my shoulder, rub the back of my head. And as far as the woman was concerned, this man is not showing me love. She was well dressed. Maybe he paid for everything. She's looking okay, but that's not good enough. So Gary Chapman, go and read the book. I'm not here. My name is not Gary Chapman. My name is Banky. Okay. Now the point I'm making, I just want to drop that. By the way, read the book to really help you. All right, to help you in how to relate to people. It's titled 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. It's not really a Christian, like the man is a preacher though, but he wrote it just for everybody. It's a very beautiful book. In fact, it's especially if you are getting married, you're married. You need to know that thing. It will solve a lot of quarrels in your life. A lot of things that will upset you. Listen, you know, like my wife likes to hear Kwele. I'm a Yoruba man. Kwele has no meaning. We have to tell her. Kwele is a Yoruba word. You know that? Yeah, but my wife, I must tell her. So I've learned to say Kwele. Even when I'm saying, I'll be feeling very silly, but I have to say it. Because for her, it has meaning. years ago, I used to wonder, why must I say it? After reading Gary Chapman, I said, don't worry, in fact, I can go and get a parrot. I just said, carrot, well, the same is there. The parrot will be repeating even when I'm not around. The Lord is good. Why? Because, no, go and read Gary Chapman, all right? No, I just digress into that. But the point I'm making is, so we read a lot of books. And those things are important. They teach us good things to do. Okay? How to sow correct seeds that you'll enjoy your life. You know, I say to us, you know, overemphasis sometimes produces error. All right? And in today's Pentecostalism, overemphasis on money as a seed has produced a lot of error. People now think that anything you want to do, as if you don't sow a seed of money, you are not ready. And anything you want in life, you can use money. After the Bible says, money answereth all things. And we take that one literally out of context and make it seem as if that's what the Bible was saying. That if you want your, you know, like the one that gets me angry, if you want your grandson to be saved, you go and sow a financial seed towards it. Believe me, generally speaking, it doesn't make any sense, all right? If you want your grandson to be saved, pray for him. Do you understand my point? Your financial seed will not save him. Okay? Now, the problem is that we have laid a lot of too much emphasis on financial seed. But actually, money, all right, there is a role that money plays as a seed. Money itself is also a seed. That, you know, I've talked about it in context before, right? About the fact that it's a carrier of the spiritual substance that is a seed. You get my point? That's why Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 4. Those people sowed money into his life. Now, so all these things are seeds. That's what I'm trying to explain. So sometimes we make the mistake of picking all these seeds, which are actually seeds, but we forget the seed, which is the word of God. And that's often the problem in our lives. We are sowing this right seed. You have read Gary Chapman, 5 Love Languages. You speak the correct language with the correct intonation in your home. Your wife understands you very well. Your husband hears it very well. Yet the marriage is not healed. It's not sweet. Why? Because the seed, the real seed, is not how I talk with my wife or how I express my love. The real seed is the word of God. And what is the word of God? That is, that marriage, you just, that is, you, before you even entered into it, you spoke a word. Not just any word, but the word of God. You planted, listen, whatever a man sows, what he plants, not what God desires. Did you hear what I said? It is the one that he or she sowed. That is the one that germinates, not the one that God wants. What God does is to supply seed to the sower. Then the sower sows the seed. Are you following it? Go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. What God does is to supply the seed. So the seed is the word of God. But the sower is the child of God. Do you understand the point I'm making? And in everything, listen, you can't suppose, oh, I want to go higher in my career. Go back to school and learn some more. Improve your skills. And this, like I said, these are good seeds. Any young man, young woman in school, learning is planting seeds. And they are important. But the seed, you see that the way I'm laying the emphasis? The one that is needful, without which all other ones are a waste of time, is the word of God. And what is the second emphasis I'm putting in there? The word of God is the seed. Yes, it's correct. But it has to be planted. So God ministers seed to the sower and says, sower, take seed. Many sowers don't sow. They keep the seeds on the shelf. They have plenty of seed. It's in their Bibles. They have plenty of seed. They've read many good teachings, all right, concerning spiritual things. They have plenty of seed. They come for Bible studies like this. They have plenty of seed. They listen to a lot of messages on CD. On tape, different kinds of medium or media. That's shelf. What did I call it? Shelf. Seed shelf. This thing is just on the shelf. So it's plenty inside their heads, inside their hands, things all over the place. But the sower must do what? Sow. And whatever a man sows, not what he has on the shelf, Please, I hope you're following me. Whatever a man sows, if he wants to reap it, I wrote an article long ago, carve your destiny or carve your future. That they have a saying in Western Nigeria that if you want to step on cool ground, you throw water ahead of you. That is, listen, the seed, that's the one I just feel like talking about today. In fact, I think I've almost finished my message, so we can start sowing some seeds. The seed is the word of God. It is good to learn many principles of business, relationship, career, ministry. It's very important. But first of all, you must sow the seed. You must plant it. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Second, another thing I should emphasize is that the planting of that seed must be continual. One of the mistakes I believe we make in today's Christianity, many of the teachings we have, is that we have this do one thing, get a quick result attitude. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think we want to computerize spiritual things. You know what I'm saying? Like to shut down your computer, press this button. To launch this program, press this one. In spiritual things, it doesn't work like that. In spiritual things, you press and keep pressing. Because as soon as you launch that window, it starts shutting down. I don't know what I heard I said. Once you launch the window, you launch the app in spiritual things, instantly it starts shutting down. Shutdown is natural. Shutdown is natural. So spiritually, if they say press this button, what it means is put a finger on it, don't lift it off. Are you getting the point I make? In fact, you know the Bible says that knock. I don't know what was amplified, but I read a commentary on it. It said knock and keep on knocking. It's not just about knock. That is, knocking must be an attitude. The major problem we have in today's Christianity, not the major, one of the problems, let me put it like that, is that we have this quick result attitude, which is not right. It's not a proper spiritual attitude. It's not proper. The one I hack all the time, when I need money, I quickly calculate how much I need. How much is it? I need like 1.5 million to do this, to do that, and get this. All right. 1% of that for a 100-fold return. If we plant 1%, how much would that be? I'll tell you that 15,000. All right, get me 15,000. All right, let me go and look for somebody who needs. And I give to him. And I'm waiting for 1.5 million. You've done it before. You didn't get anything. Don't bother telling me. I know you did not. They normally don't get it. You're not alone. The fellow on your left too did it. Asking, did you get anything? He said, bros, yes, I got something by faith. Where is the thing? It's still coming. I've seen it. I believe it. See that the law of sowing and reaping doesn't work? It works abundantly. Except that in spiritual things, it doesn't work like that. I just sow one seed, and I go to the other side and say, no. A spiritual sower is a continual sower. He sows and does not count. He doesn't know mathematics. Spiritual people don't know mathematics. Now, I don't mean you don't go to school and learn proper mathematics. I mean you don't do mathematics in spiritual things. How many offerings have we given? 6 offerings over 4 years. Okay, calculate it. 6 times 24. Multiply. What is the differential value of that? Find the cosine for me. All right? No, it doesn't work like that. Spiritual sowing is that once I start sowing, I become a sower. Do you get my point? Yes. Yeah, in spiritual, we don't sow a seed. One act does not make you a doer. When the Bible says, be doers of the word. That is, doing the word is a habit. It's not, sweetheart, where are you? I'm in the market. Please, have you done the word today? No. It's not like that. It is, as she's starting her car to drive out in the morning, that starting of the car must be a doing of the word. Do you get my point? I don't need to call you later at the end of the day, sweetheart, how was today? I hope you did the word today. Say yes. So, and when I got to that junction, I did the word. Then when I got to this other junction, I did the word. Yeah, I've done the word like 6 times today. That's not a doer. That's not a doer. A doer. Doer is an attitude. Even when you are sleeping, you are a doer. Even when you are not doing anything, you are still what? A doer. Doer is what you become. Like, let me ask you, just to emphasize it. Am I a carnivore, a herbivore, or an omnivore? Somebody say I'm a carnivore. I'm not a carnivore. I'm not a carnivore. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I know the way they taught us in biology, I'm an omnivore. The Lord is good. So let me ask you a question. Describe me. Carnivore, omnivore, or herbivore? Omnivore. Huh? Omnivore. Omnivore. That's what I am, right? Yeah. What do you mean? Am I eating anything right now? I'm not eating. Yeah. I'm not eating meat or grass or anything. I'm just here. Yet you are calling me an omnivore. Why? That's what I am. That is the reason I eat. I'm not an omnivore. Because of what I eat. I eat because of what I am. Do you get my point? Yes, I eat because of what I am. It's not because I ate, they should not give me a name. Even if I decide I'm a vegetarian, that's my problem. I'm still an omnivore. If I decide I'm going on 7 days fast, I'm still an omnivore that has not eaten in 7 days. Do you get my point? That's the way it is in spiritual things. You are a doer of the word, even when you are doing nothing. It is something you become. A sower is like that also. A sower sows continually. That's why I don't like this thing that Christians do. You know, I'm sure maybe by next year I'll stop saying it here. Because I've said it enough before you start getting angry with me. Say, Pastor, stop that thing. We have heard it. Don't worry, by next year, all right? For the rest of this year, let me keep saying it. I don't like that thing Christians do. No, it's not a person I don't like. It's a fact. It's because it is not right. When I need something, I give. No. I'm a giver. Can you remember that? Am I giving anything right now? I'm preaching. But I'm a giver. Okay. If you're a giver, say amen. Are you giving anything right now? In fact, I'm the one giving you. I'm preaching the word of God. You're sitting there. You are receiving right now. Are you getting my point? No, forget one. That one, why? Just giving me audience. you know, Americans behave funny. They will advertise something. They said, this is $1,000. They not cancel the 1,000 and say, save 500. And I say, it's 500. I say, I'm not saving, I'm spending. I'm saving when you give me money. And I keep it. That's why in Christianity, you're supposed to be a giver. You understand my point? And a receiver at the same time. Because you must have the capacity to receive. He that watches the wind will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. The sower also is a reaper. You are getting what I'm trying to say? The sower is also what? A reaper. But then she manifests according to the need of the moment. So the man who is a sower, he continues to sow when he has the opportunity to sow. What I'm trying to emphasize is that he's a habit. When we try to make this thing one action, we break down the foundation of truth. It's not right. Like I say all the time, if you are not a giver, don't bother sowing the seed, you won't get anything. You must become a giver. It must be your habit. Who is a giver? The fellow who just thinks about other people and is willing to be a blessing. It's just an attitude. In the same manner, we're talking about sowing the word. It must be an attitude. There is nothing I do in life, you're saying to yourself, that I don't sow the word of God into it ahead. It's just an attitude. When I wake up in the morning, I am sowing the word into my destiny. I am sowing the word into my ministry. I'm sowing the word into my family. I'm sowing the word into my children. I'm not married, I'm not even engaged. Yet, I'm already sowing the word into what kind of family I'll have in 10 years' time. You know, I like one thing E.W. Kenyon said. A number of them have said it, something like that anyway. He said, if you wait till you need faith to go and get it, you waited too late. Let me put it like this. As Christians, we should avoid getting to the point of need before we start sowing the real seed. It's when I'm sick, and as I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. By the Son of Jesus, I've been healed. Some of those seeds are panic seeds. Are you getting my point? Sometimes the season is not even ripe. What am I saying? It's a habit. Every day, I sow the seed. That's what a Christian should be. Concerning divine health. I'm not sick. There's no epidemic. There's no threat to my life. There is nothing. Just as a child of God, I wake up in the morning.
Oh, Father, I thank you for today in the name of Jesus. By his stripes I have been healed. I face today with the healing power of God in me. No evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. That's it. I'm not even thinking about being healed. Do you get my point? I don't need money. Not like I'm broke. But I start declaring the word of God. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. Not because I'm in need. Not because I just made money. It's just my life. Especially, listen to this. Especially when life wants to tell me something that is against the word of God. I watched TV say, the world economy is expected to shrink by 2% next year. And consistent like over the next 5 years. And the jobless rate. In fact, the other one, they described one in America that made me laugh. They said, jobless recovery. You know, those of you who don't watch economics, what are they talking about? What they mean is simply is that the economy in America went into a kind of recession and that they are recovering, except that the number of people employed is not improving. So that is, the recovery, it may be on paper, or some people are making more money than before, some more goods are being produced than before, which a few people can buy, maybe they cannot export, but the number of people working in America has not increased. So they call it what? A jobless recovery. When I read that one, when I saw that one on TV, I laughed. So you watch things like that. This is to scare you. You know, you start displaying the word of God. I saw it, I think it's in this book I saw it. Somebody said that no matter the famine in the wilderness, the lion is not going to eat grass. Do you understand? I like when I saw it, I said, wow, this is sweet. But those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. The young lions may go hungry, but I will never lack anything good. I remember my favorite scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 12. You just wake up in the morning and say, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So he said, wealth is flowing towards me. It's coming towards me like a river. It's coming towards me like an overflowing stream. And you know, if you are broke or you are full, it's just your normal way of what? Talking. Before you learn business principles, you must sow this seed. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The seed, the real one, all other things are added to this one. This is the real seed. And my emphasis now is the fact that it must be a habit. It must be a habit. It's not, are you feeling sick? Now let's confess the word of God. Right, let's start confessing. By the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. If it's a seed, it will take time to germinate, to become manifested. So you will be healed, though, amen? But you will suffer small. Your brain feels hot for one whole week. While you and every symptom is fighting, that is this word real or it's not. But what's my challenge? You're sick, you're not sick, you're feeling well, you're not feeling well, it doesn't matter. It's just a habit. It's just a habit, because the seed is the word of God. Before you start jogging, you know, some people, they have so much faith in doctors. More than half of what nutritionists tell you, all right? I don't know whether they are qualified or they are not, but general information here on nutrition, more than half are wrong. And I dare to say as much as 20% are harmful. More than half are lies. Okay, let me drop one for you. Sugar causes diabetes. That is a fat lie. One of the biggest lies they tell every day. On television, you drink too much Coke, you are going to have diabetes. Lie. It's a very fat lie. You know, when I teach that subject to medical students a lot of times. Usually, by the time I finish teaching, maybe after 1 hour, and I say, hey, good. So from everything I've said so far, what role does sugar play in causing diabetes? All of them are looking at each other. Look, this man has spoken for so long, he hasn't mentioned the word sugar once in the cause of diabetes. Big lie. Some of you are hearing that for the first time. Some have heard it before, you didn't believe it. Hearing it from me, and I said, are you sure? Because it sounds so wrong. How can sugar diabetes not be caused by sugar? Tell the man who's diabetic, you can't eat yam, You can't eat rice. Don't eat bread. Mm-hmm. Don't go near okpa. Mm-hmm. Don't try this one. Mm-hmm. So the man said, what can I eat now? He said, you eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. Then you eat beans. Very funny. They say plantain, unripe. All of them, fat lie. For those who are wondering what the truth about it is, what can the man eat? Everything. But in moderation. Do you understand? I'm not here teaching medical management of diabetes. I'm a preacher. I'm teaching how to lay hands on a diabetic man and get him healed. All right? That's the truth. So let me not waste my time here. I want to learn about medical way of treating diabetes. Come and meet me in school. Amen? Here, let's talk about how to lay hands on diabetic people and get them healed. But the point I want to make is that, listen, most of what you are told, most, I'm not joking about, more than 50% are lies. They are not true. And this is an estimate. The other one is very, very, that's the truth. This other one, not very certain of the figures, but can be that high. As much as 20% are outright harmful. See the lie they tell you about cholesterol around? That was 90% a lie. Come to Nigeria, be warning Nigerians, don't eat cholesterol. The man looking at you. Now be telling me, don't eat cholesterol. Go to where they eat cholesterol and go and preach that gospel to them. Leave me alone. I'm telling you, just see them. I told you before, the drug company wants to make money. They increase the number of sick people overnight. The last classification of mental illness, DSM-5, the American classification came out. By that classification, 90% of the world are mentally sick. It became obvious that no person is normal. Homophobia is not a sickness. For not liking homosexuality, you are sick. It's like they just wake up in the morning and just draw a new line. Anybody above this level is sick. Anybody below this level is possibly sick. If you are healthy, you cannot be this level. You now check that level, there are only 1 in 15 people on that health. At least one, a few people sit in the office and decide that everybody is sick. There's one that, you know, see, what goes on in the medical world there? There's a reason I'm going through it. Recently, I was last year or the year before. Now, for like a decade or more, for more than one decade before, they had said every man of age 50 and above, thereabout, should go annually to check his prostate. As of 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? I got the papers last year. One American board decided, listen to this, that it is absolutely a useless procedure. They spent billions on it worldwide. Then the man who invented the test, the PSA test, he said it has been the most colossal of waste of public funds ever. That doing a PSA test on a man is nothing better than tossing a coin. These were his words. That you may as well say, all men, queue up, queue up. You have cancer of the prostate, next. Take another coin, toss it. You don't have. That you may as well stand there and say, to born, oh yeah, cancer, no cancer. This is a statement from the man who invented the test. He said, doing the test tells you nothing. Can you believe that? It's difficult to believe. No, I'm not. You can Google it up. Those of you who are in the medical field, ask me. I have the files on my computer inside the office there. I'll give them to you. Meanwhile, men queue up regularly. You take blood from them. PSA is high. You start poking needles into strange places. You bring out tissue. They send the tissue to me. I look at it. I say, this is Gleason score 1. This is Gleason score 2. This is that. They finally decide that it looks like you have an early form of cancer of the prostate, so they want to treat you. And in treating you, if you are lucky, you'll just be sick for a year. If you are not, you're impotent for life. Some men say, nah, lie. Let's see which one will kill the person better. Or is it the impotence or the cancer of the prostate? Let me stay with the cancer of the prostate. But it's most painful now that a lot of people have suffered needlessly. An American doctor now wrote a book, 2 books. I have both of them. One was titled, Should I Be Treated for Cancer? The second one is titled, Overdiagnosis, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health. An American physician. I bought the book, especially after I read the issue of PSA. And you see, you know, it's good. You know that thing, you know what I'm saying? I want them to be reading their Bible. They didn't listen. Why am I saying all of these things? Before you start jogging, the real seed. Before you go for PSA testing, the real seed is the Word of God. Because if you go for PSA testing without doing the real seed, what you find out is that they will just make you sick for nothing. Then treat you for a sickness you did not have and now make you sick permanently. And give you a deception that now you are well. Were it not for us, you would have been dead. It's a lie. For those who are wondering, yeah, I just want to bore you with all the details. Let's leave that one. That's for when the doctors gather. Let's correct ourselves. Listen, I was listening to Corey Blake, and I knew that, you know, some of the things I say here, I've heard them in many places, different ways. He said, more people die annually from medical mistakes in the United States than died in the whole of the Vietnam War. Fact, not church fact, scientific fact. That annually, the number of people that die in the United States from mistakes of doctors, they are more than the total number that died in the Vietnam War. Corey Blake said a good proportion of those he prays for to get healed are those who became sick because of the doctor. The seed is the Word of God. So before you start jogging, say they say if I jog 5 kilometers a day, my heart will never fail. Like one man made a joke. This one is a joke. Oh. This one is a joke just to make you laugh. Oh. The man said, how can that be? The more you use something, the more it wears out. That your heart is only good for a certain number of beats. That if you use too many beats, that's the end of your heart. Now, that one is a joke, all right? That one is a joke. That one is a joke. The point I'm trying to make is that, look, there is no assurance in all these things. The seed. The seed. Therefore, any child of God that wants to jog, before you start jogging, you do spiritual jogging first. You toss the Word of God up and down in your heart. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. All inherited diseases are cursed. They are not part of me anymore. They have been broken out of my life by the power of the blood of Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in me. And that same Spirit is giving life to my mortal body. Even though my body is subject to death because of sin, yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness. And I have been made righteous by my faith in Christ Jesus. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. I think you should go and get Mel Gibson's book again, film, The Passion of the Christ. So just be watching and say, that was for me. Yes, that one was for me. That cured arthritis. The other one cured mental illness. That's for the heart. That one is for my back. That one is for my stomach. It's the Word of God. By His stripes. Do you get my point? That is the seed. That one is more important than jogging. It's more important than I eat this, I don't eat this. One day, one man told me that physiologic man weighs 70 kg. You know, they tell that your BMI is too high. You're likely to be sick. I said, lie. My BMI is very spiritual. Yes, I calculated my BMI from the scriptures. All my illnesses and bodily ailments are tied to lack of study of the Word of God. I'm not joking about that. If I start feeling feverish and feeling ill a bit, time to stop waking up early in the morning and disobeying the scriptures. You know what that means? It is good for a man to rise up early and then come to bed late. People think that it's only when you are doing secular work, even ministry work, the same thing. Wake up at night, you are editing messages, uploading, downloading. They're sending me writing sermons. It still work. It is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. It's not good. So once I'm not feeling well, I know enough. You carry the book and read. Just lie down. Just lie down there and read. They say, come aside and rest for a while. You are getting what I explain? That's it. You do that one first. The seed, that is the seed, the real one is the word of God. And a Christian plants it continually. The seed, this next point, is not a wish. Many books on confession I see, they are wishes. Book of wishes. I hereby confess that a car is coming to me. I hereby confess that the house I will have is big. I confess and I declare that in my office I will be promoted to the position of DG. I confess and declare that that girl that I married, like, she's the one that will marry me. I declare that we are going to have 6 children. I declare that 2 of them will be half caste, 3 will be Nigerian, 6 will be... That's confession of wish. That's not the word of God. The seed is not your word. Are you catching what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The seed is not your word. The seed is what?
The word.
So Paul said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say, that is the only one that can be spoken and we say we are sowing the seed, is the one that is based upon what he said. Every other thing is a wish. It may come to pass, I don't know. It may not come to pass, it doesn't concern me, but it's not the word of God. That's why I say, look, listen, I learned that one long ago. Forget confession of desire. You can pray about your desires, you don't confess your desires. What did I say? I know that it's been very strong in the word of faith that you confess that thing. No, listen, you confess the word of God, you don't confess your desires. The problem with your desires is that they can change. Only the word of God abides forever. Forever, O Lord, our desires are settled. Did you read that one anywhere? Forever, O Lord, what is settled? I mean, you can wake up today and say, my God, I saw one gold-colored, latest model, Mitsubishi something. My God, that car was too much. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, and I begin to confess it right now, right now, right now, right now. And next day, your friend arrives with the Ford. Oh, boy, which model is this? This one came out last week. Wow. Father God, that other one, forget it. Right now, we receive a Ford. As you are finishing pronouncing the Ford, one guy comes with the Toyota. Say, which one is this one? That is the latest Sequoia. Wow. Father God, please don't be angry with me. You know, like Abraham said, do not be angry with thy servant for being bold to speak a third time. Even the angels are confused. God says, what does he want? He says, even we don't know. It's all right. When he makes up his mind, let us know. So what am I supposed to do? It's simple. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's it. All my needs are met. It makes all grace abound towards me. So I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. Do you get my point? The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. Then I make my request. Lord, I like that thing. That's it. Do you have that card now? Listen. All my needs are met. Why? Because it makes all grace abound towards me. So that I, having all sufficiency in all things, I abound to every good work. That is, the reason why I like one thing, God knows it. And by the power of his grace, he supplies that reason. What I mean is that, why do I like the car? I want it very neat, very reliable, very high off the ground. God says, yes, I have like 17 models that will fulfill that dream of yours. You've only seen 2. Don't worry. By the time I bring the one that you will have, you will realize that it's the finest you ever saw. Do you get my point? That's why as Christians, we don't confess our desires. We confess the word of God. The seed is the word of God. You don't wake up in the morning, please. Oh, American visa, I receive it. I claim it. I have it. American visa, I receive it. I claim it. I have it. I think it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. What did I say?
It's unnecessary.
The time that you walk into the embassy, say, yeah, how far? I want to go for 6 weeks. They give you visa for 5 years.
That time is coming. Amen. In fact, there are things you don't make prayer points. God will look and say, what's your problem? This is not a prayer point. I like one illustration Pastor Paul used once. He said, if a king were to ask you, say, what can I do for you? He says, sir, I'm hungry. He said, he would say, you don't get the point. I don't know whether I get the point. Yes. That is, a man that has power. He said, what can I do for you? He says, sir, your servant hasn't eaten since morning. He said, listen, if you wanted food, you should have asked my gate men. I just entered the kitchen and asked the cooks, any leftover? They will give you. You enter into my presence, please, 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 leave food matter. As I ask me for real things, you know, things that are difficult, things that only kings can do. See, why is it funny? Wake up in the morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. American visa. Go and sit down, go to it. We'll arrange that one. I mean, the time will, you know, really, really, I'm telling you. Before you wake up, sleep and wake up a few times, you'll have crossed that time. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So what do we confess? There's this word. You know that my word, I love it so much. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. Number one is towards. I don't run after it. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is one thing you wake up every morning, you declare. Whether you have money or you don't, makes no difference. You wake up in the morning and declare it. If you have 10 naira and you need 20, wake up in the morning and declare it. If you have 1,000 naira and you need only 5, wake up in the morning and declare it. It's the word of God. It's not your desire. Now, what that word does, that when it starts producing fruit, listen to this, you know, you sow the seed. It is the word of God. When it starts producing fruit, the fruit will satisfy every desire of your heart. That is the thing. Your desire will be satisfied from the fruit that comes forth from the seed that was sown. Don't be confessing your desires. Please, forget it. When the word produces fruit, it will satisfy every single desire of your heart and more than you ever desired. And more than you ever desired. So, people of God, that's my message to you for today. We got it last time. You know, was it last time I was speaking about you must never argue against God's word? Yes. Now, today what I'm saying is that word of God must be the seed you sow all the time. It must be the seed we sow all the time. It is the seed. It is what?
The seed.
It is what?
The seed.
It is what?
The seed.
There is a series I did, I think last year. Israel, was it? Was it last year or the year before? The Saints of God. Last year. Please, I encourage you to get that series. I think about 12 or 15 messages. I can't remember the whole series. Please get it. What I tried to do was to, because what Paul said is that, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say. We must know what he said. And it's that one we used to say. So when I say all my needs are met, I don't have to be quoting the scripture. The Bible says that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Anybody that's releasing that voice, they hearken. So once I know what he said, I frame it in any language, whatever way I would like it, as long as it is based upon what he said. For example, I say, every season of my life, I'm healthy. Even though I'm old, I'm healthy. I'm as strong as a young man anytime. Now, you won't find any scripture that I'm quoting, but there are like 6-7 scriptures that I've condensed into those statements. By his stripes I've been healed. It's inside there. Mark the righteous man. He still will be mighty on the earth. He will be old and full of sap. It's inside there. Are you getting my point? It's inside there. The testimony of Caleb is inside there. For anyone who follows the Lord fully, it's inside there. I put everything together and it's just a declaration of the word of God. So I wake up in the morning. Somebody said, oh God, you're done the old. He says, age is only adding wisdom to me. That's all. It will never add ill health. Listen, be careful how you interpret things that happen in your life. You forget something. Somebody say, age, you don't the old. Say, no, it's not age. It's because I have many things to think of and I'm very busy. It's not age. I remember things. That my son brought a mathematical problem for me. I looked at it. I just realized I've not seen this thing maybe in the last 25 years. No joke.
In an instant, I suddenly remembered the way we used to solve it when I was in secondary school. I left secondary school in 84. Yes, 1984. If you are not born, then say, man, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. I left secondary school in 1984. Next year, that will be 30 years, right? Do you know, instantly, I remembered it. Yet, I forget a lot of things. Why? So many things to remember now. So don't stop interpreting the things of your life in a negative way. Interpret them in the light of the truth of the word of God. He said, are you forgotten? He said, it's multitude of business. I'm sorry. Not, I don't the old. You know, say, my man, the old, the brain will begin to shrink. My brain must never shrink. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will be old and full of sap. That's what the Bible says. This brain, you're not shrinking. At the age of 90, I'll be quoting scriptures, remembering things. Nobody, if I'm sorry for some young people that they will think they are smart. They come and say, ah, we heard that man is 90 years old. Don't worry, we can go and do him while you. I will show them that me too, I can be cunning if I wish to be. I'm telling you. So if I forget one or two things, does it mean I'm old? Just means I'm very busy. Or the thing is not important. I hope you are getting my point. I said, I'm just having this headache. I think I'm having migraine. Why are you blessing yourself with a diagnosis? If you know what I mean by blessing. I have this headache. It means it has to go. If you get to your house, it's leaking, the roof is leaking. Say, it means this house is going to collapse. Israel, how many times have we had the leaking roof problem in this place? What do? We pick the phone and call the guy who repairs it. He comes, checks, okay, this has happened. We'll go and buy another one. He comes, replaces it. It's not, the building is about to collapse. A lot of people have small headache because their father died 8 years ago after a headache. They say, I'm about to die. When you hear that, when Satan says, you're about to die, he says, no, I will not die, I will live. With long life will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Why do you have a headache? It just means it has to go. How is it going to go? Let us check. So you have only been sleeping 3 hours every day for the last 1 week. It's not the will of God. So if you find that you are having a headache, you go and sleep. Or somebody has told you that you are not fine because you are too fat. So you don't eat again. And I say, God, heal me of a headache because I believe I'm not fine. I say, go and eat. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this headache. Somebody will give you food. Because I should give you to cure the headache. If you know the way life works, if you start disobeying the word of God in one area, it complicates your life in another area. Say, I have ulcer in the name of Jesus. I go. Sister, chop now. No. I'm making healing more difficult. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Well, listen, let's stop causing problems. And start asking God, solve this problem. Why we have not stopped causing it? I don't know whether I get my point. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We always, some Christians are on drugs. They don't know. But they are not using heroin. They are not taking cocaine. They don't smoke cigarettes. But they are on drugs. What? Coffee. They drink. Thank you. Somebody said energy drinks. Chinese man has packed things and give me, and you are drinking it all the time. You are now wondering why your neck is always tense. That is the reason. That is the reason. Some people they are drugged up all the time. They don't realize it. Sometimes when those kind of headaches come, it's a pointer to, enough of these so-called energy drinks that you are drinking. Just sleep properly. Eat good food. Don't over-label yourself with digesting. You know what I mean by over-label? I mean, every night you eat so much, your stomach has to work extra hard to digest it. Maintain a moderate life, and many of these problems will disappear. You don't need an energy drink. Amen? Amen? You're not sick. Amen? Amen. That's just it. We interpret symptoms in the light of victory. You know, I said that the other day, 2 weeks ago. We have to interpret everything in our lives in the light of what? Victory. If I have a headache, it's because it has to go. I'm not going to die. I don't have a brain tumor. Don't suggest it to me. When people begin to have fibrillary astrocytoma, this is how it starts. Those who are going to live long, they also had it like this. And this is how it went. Are you getting my point?
I like when the Robert Kiyosaki said, look, that thing is so beautiful. They wasn't preaching, but I read in this book. Every time you lose money, don't lose the lesson. Yes, did you hear that? And everything you do in life, as a businessman, there are times you lose money. He said, yes, you can lose the money. But make sure, in quote, I'm adding my own words now, you get your money back by grabbing the lesson. And as a matter of fact, the lesson is usually more valuable than the money. You get the point? Come and say, in my family, they say that we are close. We can never do well in business. You know, it doesn't even, why should us still cross? In fact, I'm sure it doesn't cross your mind anymore. Does it cross your mind? In Jesus' name, it must never cross your mind. You lose money, you just say, where did we go wrong? You settle down, say, the most, how much did we lose? 1.5 million. Wow. It's a lot of money. So let's make sure we get a lesson of at least 5 million from this so that the thing will be on our side. You sit down, critically analyze it, and you learn your lesson. I hope you got my point. I hope you got my point. What's the summary? The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It's before every other seed. Number two, we plant it continually. 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 We don't focus on confessing our desires. We confess the word of God. Don't forget, the seed must be planted. We don't just hear it and keep it there. We become sowers. What did I call it? What did I call it? A sower sows continually. He doesn't wait till he has a problem before he starts sowing. He looks at the headache is about to come, and by strength I'll be healed. By strength I'll be healed. That's late. Whether you are healthy or not, you are sowing. Whether you are broke or not, you are sowing. It's a habit. If you are not even planning to marry, you know, some people say that what you are preaching, I don't need it now. Fa fa fa. Fa fa fa. If you wait till you need it, you waited too late. So what are they talking about? Talking about that marriage matter again. Oh boy, you won't marry now. No, maybe in about 2 years' time. Okay, let's go now. Then when it's now time to marry, not be asking for counsel. No, I hate too much counseling. I have a rule. If you come to me for counseling, most people here know. What I want to know is, have you heard me before? Is that my friend said you can help me. Your friend is the one that told you about me. I'm sorry, I can't counsel you. One young man came once. Before we started speaking, he said, sir, I have read all your books. I've listened to more than 1,000 hours. By the time he finished giving his own CV, profile, thank you. I had to listen to him. Or like you were there that day. The guy said, like, okay, don't go near there, that you don't know me. We know each other. Forget that one. We know each other. Start talking. When the guy finished, I had to talk. But some people, they've never heard. One day, a friend of mine said, she wants to ask one lady to come and see me. I said, about what? I gave her your book. She was blessed by it. He needs counseling at this time. I said, sorry. Don't bother telling her because I will not counsel her. He said, why? I preached on prosperity. She hasn't heard it. I preached on long life. You have not heard it. I preached on the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You have not heard it. I have preached many, many things you haven't heard. You just saw one book I wrote on marriage and you want counseling. It doesn't work like that. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's why, don't think I'm being arrogant and pompous. That's why I don't talk to strangers. The people around me, they know I don't talk. If you come and say, please, I want to see you, I would never agree. Why? I want to be sure we're on the same frequency. We have to be on the same frequency. I was preaching on Sunday. I finished telling the story that I gave my wife engagement ring of 300 naira. And the whole church laughed. And one guy, I just saw, Holy Spirit just said, look at that one. I turned. Holy Spirit didn't say that to her. I mean, I'm saying that my head just went there, just zoomed in on her. I just said to her friend, I won't take it. It was the crowd was large, you know. But the Holy Spirit, that's why I said Holy Spirit, my eye just went there straight to her. Somewhere closer to the back than the front. I just said to her friends, I won't take it. I said, ah. Oh, foolish Galatian. Who's giving you anyway? Such a person will now come to me for counseling. Are you getting my point? And I'll be there advising her, saying, yeah, you don't worry. No, it's a waste of her time. It's a waste of my time. I was preaching hot word. People, if I were trying, you know, sometimes the young men were getting crazy. Oh, God, God bless you, sir. You know, they were all feeling very happy. And now you see that and you say, I will not take it, my mind. Many other things you also will not take. Ah.
I said, listen, you won't take it. A few years after, I bought my wife two rings for 50,000 naira. You also won't take that one. I said, you won't take that one too. I said, one day, they said that my wife's car was old. I went and bought a new one. I said, you also will not take that one. I was telling her. No, I'm serious. I was saying like that in the church. And you won't take it. There are many other things you will not take. And if God really wants to do you in, nobody will offer you rope to wrap around your finger. That's why I don't counsel people. If you and I have not talked and counseling you, what do I want to tell you? Those people say, I said, you want to talk to me? Go and talk to those books first. Talk to those CDs. When you have finished talking, you come and meet me. If there's anything they said you did not understand. And God is my witness. 4 times out of 5, they will say, no need to talk to you again. And they will go. Finish reading the books and come and say, that talk was not necessary. In this book, you answered this. In this one, you answered this. No need to talk again. The Lord is good. I'm emphasizing this continual thing. Continual. We take the word of God, the sowing of it becomes our habit. Let's close. This is our closing time. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just do a bit of it, and then we close. I feel like talking on two things, long life and prosperity. You know, God said, with long life, he will satisfy you. If you believe that, say amen. With long life, he will satisfy you. Say amen. Say it, with long life, he will satisfy me. He will show me his salvation. Say, I will not die, but I will live. I will manifest the glory of God, and I will see the glory of God. Say, he makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. Say, I am bound to every good work. Say, Jesus was rich. But for my sake, he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might become rich. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I am rich. In Christ Jesus, I am rich. In Christ Jesus, poverty is not my portion. This life cannot make me poor. I will not believe the lie of the devil. Because God delights in the prosperity of his servant. He delights in my prosperity. And I boldly declare that the will of God in my life is done. Say it. Say, will of God be done. When Jesus said, teach us to pray, that's why he said, say it like this. Thy will be done. It's a commandment. No be joke. No be play. We are speaking to the will of God. Be done. I said to you before, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. People often misread it. They say, as it is done in heaven. No, the will of God is not done. It's done on the earth. The will of God is written in heaven and it's executed on the earth. What is the will of God? That which is written. That which is written. What are prophets? Prophets are those who have seen the will in the heavens and they have read those wills and then dictated them for us to read on this earth. So when we see the scriptures, that behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, we say to that scripture, be done. Say it again, prosperity.
Prosperity.
Be done.
Be done.
Say, long life, be done. Say, perfect health, be done.
Be done.
Be done. In the name of Jesus. You wake up in the morning, you speak to your day. Remember, it is the seed. The walk you go to is not the main seed. Those are the other seeds. Like, if you don't walk, don't eat. The real seed is that the Heavenly Father knows you know these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. So declare, say, I seek the kingdom of God.
I seek the kingdom of God.
I seek his righteousness.
I seek his righteousness.
And I seek concerning all other things.
And I seek concerning all other things.
Be added.
Be added.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I always like to add this one to it.
You were born not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, but of the will of God, of the Spirit of God. You are not really that. Is it that your father? He's not the real father. The real father is our father who art in heaven. Do you get my point? And that father who art in heaven does not have any ancestral curse in his life. He doesn't have it. Therefore, say all curses,
all curses,
they have been broken, in the name of Jesus.
Therefore, I say to poverty,
be gone.
Therefore, I say to premature death,
be
gone.
In the name of Jesus. Don't forget, it's a constant sowing. If you have children, sow the word of God on their heads every day. If they misbehave, never sow an evil word. This boy is so useless. No, your child cannot be useless. He's the seed of the mighty. He's the seed of the righteous. Therefore, he's mighty on this earth. You say to him, this is not how mighty people behave. Are you getting that point? If we have to use the rod, like the Bible commands us to, you say, listen, you tell the child, foolishness that is bound up in your heart is hereby cast away. That foolishness does not allow greatness to manifest. You are a great man. You are a great woman. Therefore, I drive away foolishness from you. You sow the seed. You know, my little boy, he now goes to school. You know, he walks to the road. Akiolu, many of you know him. Flags down a bus. Enters with his backpack. And goes, drops, crosses the road, takes... No, I didn't look. I said, hey, now, wow, Mrs. B, you bold, though. You know that kind of thing. And when he was going to school, I said, come. You know, like, hey, be careful. The world is dangerous. So how do you want to scare the little boy who was just going out by himself? You know, he would deck up looking very, you know, handsome and bold. You know, carry his bag, things on the back, strap on his watch. Say, yeah, mommy, I'm ready to go. What it means? Bring the money. Let me go. The guy walk to the junction, take a bus. So when he's going, I say, welcome. Goodness will go with you. He will say, amen. Mercy will go with you. You know what I was seeing as I was saying those things? I was seeing the angels of God following him. So this is Banky's son. Anybody come here, I kill somebody. You say, the world is dangerous. So, you know, look, listen, the temptation is there. Don't think I'm not tempted to. I'm tempted. Temptation day. I did too, but just leave the house. Walk to the road. Stop there. Stop a bus. Enter. Get to school. Come down. Cross the road. Decide it's closing time. Hey. No, but I won't plant fear in his heart. Someone was going. He came to say to me that I'm ready to go. I said, come here. I said, go. God will go with you. He said, amen. His angels will protect you. They will keep you from all evil. No evil will befall you. That's what he needs to hear. I start planting it now. You know that time they said they did, is it Alofo, when they killed some, is it Alofo, the one in Port Harcourt? You say, see the video, I said, I don't know, they watch. You're planting any stupid seed in my heart. Because my son will go to university one day. So what am I, Professor Anubai said, everywhere you go, angels will shoot somebody for your sake. No, I'm serious. Anybody doesn't like you is in trouble. So I live in the house, I say to you, go, it's well with you. In the name of Jesus, you will go well. You will come back. God will help you cross the road. He will teach you when to cross, when not to cross. No evil will befall you. No plague will come near you. I command security to be your portion. The angel of the Lord, they surround you and they deliver you. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. The seed is the word of God. You plant that seed every day. Even when you are feeling happy, plant it. If you are feeling afraid, plant more. He says, sow your seed in the morning. At night, don't stop sowing your seed. Listen, let me say this, we'll close. The fruit of the seed that you have planted, it will satisfy every desire of your heart.
Amen.
Listen to me. Some of the things that are actually seeds. Now, remember, we have the seed.
Some of the things are actually seeds, the other seeds that now produce results. All right? They're actually fruits of the original seed. That seed will produce business ideas for you.
Amen.
Then you have the idea, you execute it, and you prosper. Somebody will now write a book on how to execute this kind of idea, not knowing that that idea was a fruit of a seed that was sown. That's why people's testimonies differ. Somebody got a wife like this. I told her how I met my wife. She walked up to me to ask me a question. A friend of mine, a pastor in this town, he never met his wife until they had married her for him. This year, I mean, this generation, not, it's not a grandfather, it's my friend. I preached in his church. He has come here before, during one of our meetings, sat at the back there. His friend called him one day and said, I have a wife for you. He was a missionary in London then. Called him from Nigeria here. He said, I have a wife for you. And he said, you will like her. Is that so? And they talked. And they finished talking. Then the families went and met. And they did this. At the end of the day, they prayed bright price. And every first time he saw her face to face was when she traveled to her. She went to wait for her at the airport in London. He said, arranged marriage is not good. That's your problem. The guy is enjoying himself. don't think they are village people. Well-educated people. I thought he was a missionary in London. He has missionary in many African countries before he came back and settled again in Nigeria. His friend called him and said, I have a wife for you. This girl, you will like her. The seed is not the method of toasting women. Say, before you talk to a woman, you have to make sure that you don't go there and go and say, God spoke to you. Listen, if that's what you need to say, say it. Even me, I don't need to be harassing somebody with spirituality. I don't think so. But if the fruit of the word that has been planted says, go there and say, God said to me to tell you to marry me. Don't pretend. She may just be a one who has prayed, who prayed. Like this man of full gospel, Demon Shakarian. He said the first day, of course, because of their culture, he saw his wife from afar. Now from afar, they just did see across the road, then they married. Then the first day they met, you know, and they just said, everybody here, clear, let them talk to each other. He said he had prepared poem. Their eyes are like the lilies of the valley. And then their hair is like the flock of goats, according to Solomon. And this guy said he wanted to say it, but the thing just jammed for him out. He just jammed. So after a while, he said, in summary, I believe that God wants us to be together. That was all he said. And the girl said, this is the statement I prayed to God, that they will be the first words that my husband will utter to me. If somebody had told her, don't be spiritual. Don't be spiritual. Just go there. Don't go and harass her with spirituality. Now, so for you, the girl will just start getting confused. Is it the will of God or is it not the will of God? The seed is the word. All these other things are the fruits. Are you getting my point? They are the fruits. Declare, say, joy is my portion.
Joy is my portion.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I said that to summarize family joy, marital joy.
Amen.
God will satisfy you with it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, God will satisfy you with it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me end today by saying it again. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say this. I just feel like talking about that. You will provide jobs for thousands.
Amen.
You know, God said, even though you were small in your own eyes, Samuel was saying to Saul, yet God made you a king. And I was reading Mark chapter 4 the other day. He said he was talking about the seed. He said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that is planted. Even though it's the smallest of all seeds, Then it grows up to be the biggest of all trees. You may be small, like the smallest of all people. But I declare you to you today, with the kingdom of God working in you, you will grow to be the biggest of all in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about being small. It's a principle of the kingdom. That what God is taking to great places will always start very small. Not just small, but very small. So your very smallness is a blessing. Because you are blessed in Christ Jesus. Never forget, wherever you are in life, you are blessed. If you are in Enugu, you are blessed. If you are in Lagos, you are blessed. You don't have to run anywhere to look for blessing. Your presence is a blessing attraction. And that will be your experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us share the grace in fellowship. Shout out, brethren.